My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I think the NBA is messing up, man.
I think
a little bit. It feels like Joel Embiid's injury last night could have been avoided. And even still, before, and welcome into the Insider. I forgot to start recording again. That's fine. Good start, Kyle. If you missed it, the Sixers played at the Warriors last night, second game of back-to-back for the 76ers. Joel Embiid played. He only played 29 minutes for Philly in their loss to the Warriors, but anybody who watched 5 minutes of that game understood that he was compromised in some way.
Oh yeah,
he was not. He doesn't move like a guard. Anyways, he definitely has the body of a much older person. But I mean, he's averaging 36, 11-6 this year. Like he's. He's fine. He's been really good and probably the MVP of the league again. However, because of the new, you know, limit on number of games you can play or number of games you can miss, I guess, before you aren't eligible for postseason awards and all NBA and stuff, he forced himself to play through what was clearly an injury. Last night, he goes for 14, 7, and 2. He was 5 of 18 from the field, and he had 8 turnovers.
Okay, so...
And then he gets hurt.
Here's the problem that I have. Like, yes, Joel Embiid is amazing, and he's playing at an MVP level.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's forcing himself out there onto the court because he has to hit a certain game number, it's kind of the point, Kyle. Like, an MVP play... 57 games. That's not an MVP.
No, I totally.
Yeah,
I don't disagree with that at all, and I don't hate the idea of saying if you're a voter and going, hey, you got to play 65 for me.
Yeah,
like that's fine. And this is not my whole thing with this is I think we've reached the point of we're no longer stopping load management. We're now seeing players get hurt because they're trying to get to this
mystical, magical 65-game mark.
This objective just kind of like, yeah, hey, 65 games is the number.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the difficulty in this is like, you're right. You have to play.
Yeah.
That's the point. And you see Kawhi Leonard playing more. You see guys like Curry playing more. And that's that. I mean, across the league, players are missing fewer games. And that's good. That's the goal. But the goal was not to say, hey, yeah, you should play hurt.
No.
But that's kind of what this is now. And I guess it's okay because in some sense, and help me out, I'm kind of talking myself through this. I understand the need for players to play.
Yes.
I get that. And I want players to play.
I understand the league regulating, like totally. Making it an issue and pushing it.
The issue I get to with this is tying this to all NBA, which is then tied to your earning potential as a player.
That's where the gray area lies.
And yeah. That's what bothers me about it. Go ahead.
Hey, I will tell you that for years, Scott Howard Cooper was around. You know, he lives in Sacramento. He covered the NBA for years and years as a writer at the B, as a writer for NBA.com. He had not only a Hall of Fame vote, but also, you know, all of your standard, you know, all-star, everything mm-hmm. else. He always had the opinion, which he was open about, so I'm not like spilling the beans on Scott Howard Cooper here, but he felt that it wasn't okay for media to impact that exact thing.
Yeah, that's crazy that happens.
Because when the media votes and a guy either makes an all-NBA team or mm-hmm. doesn't, you're controlling a player's money.
Yes.
Like his potential earnings. Because yes. Like if you make all-NBA 2 years in a row before your contract extension, you jump from being eligible for 30% of the salary cap to 35% of the salary cap. And so the money, we're talking huge, huge amounts of money.
Right.
Not a little bit of money.
Right.
We're talking about on a gigantic deal, 5% times 5 years is a tremendous amount of money.
Right.
And he was always like, I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable that we're like, if players have incentives for making an all-star team,
mm-hmm.
that we're helping them either achieve or not achieve yeah. those things. And I get it. But at the same time, I think the league had a problem. And
definitely.
And if anyone, the Sacramento Kings last year exposed that problem.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings were the healthiest team in the league because they played every day. Everyone went out there like, okay, Domantas Sabonis has a broken bone in his right hand.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, he had an avulsion fracture, right? Mm-hmm. Like the tendon pulled off the bone.
Sounds awful, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It sounded absolutely horrible. But, you know, Keegan Murray had an injury like that. And De'Aaron Fox had injuries. The Kings played through them, and mm-hmm. they showed that sometimes playing every game keeps you as healthy as you know, resting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the league, it's not the only reason the league did it. The league has its own investment in this,
mm-hmm.
where fans are going to games expecting to see Kawhi Leonard or expecting to see Steph Curry.
Well, yeah.
And they show up, they spend a bunch of money, and they don't get to see that player because that player is resting that night.
And these TV networks pay billions of dollars
yeah.
for these deals to get good games. And then, hey, oh, we got Warriors Celtics tonight. And Steph Curry's out, and Draymond Green's out, and Klay Thompson's out, and
yeah.
Jason Tatum's resting. And now it's Peyton Pritchard against Jordan Poole. You know, like that's what they were trying to avoid. And so, like I said,
yeah.
I'm stuck in the middle here a little bit because I understand the league needing to cut down on just the raw load management.
Yeah.
Like the, hey, you know what? Pencil in Chris Paul for 60 games, whether he's hurt or healthy. He is not playing more than 60. And that went for, like I said, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Steph Curry, like pick a player. It's always like, hey, when was the last time that guy played more than 75 games in a year?
Yeah.
Like, oh, 2012. Like so long ago, right? So I totally get that. But my concern comes in, or I guess my question in all this is, one, there's the aspect of tying it to all NBA and your ability to make more money. Because now, look, if a player rolls their ankle, and let's say De'Aaron Fox but earlier this season when he rolled his ankle, mm-hmm. had to miss 16 games. He is no longer... no, wait, 17.
You have to miss 18. You can miss up to 17. You have to play 65 okay. games.
So let's say he missed 18 games. He's just yep. out. He can no longer... He's just done. He can't be All-NBA anymore. Even if he plays the rest of the season and averages 38 points a game, he plays 64 games, he can't be All-NBA now?
Yeah.
Like that... And that's where my problem comes in, is because now if you're... And again, I'm picking De'Aaron Fox's ankle because of the thing that happened this year. So if he's sitting there at game 17 and he's like, you know what? I'm not quite ready, but I got to get out there because I could mess my money up. And then something, you know, God forbid, worse happens because he's compromised in this way and playing on it. That's where you see this could get a little bit messy and a little bit ugly. And I think with Joel Embiid being an MVP candidate or MVP front runner, whatever word you want to use, going out clearly being hurt, and then in last night's game getting injured.
Yeah.
That was on national TV, mind you. That's just a really high profile example of how this can go sideways. And I don't know what the league does to fix it outside of, okay, maybe you drop the threshold to 60 games, which maybe. Ultimately, though, we always get back to this. Every time any NBA fan talks about this, it's like they need to play fewer games.
Yeah.
And that's never going to happen. So it's trying to find solutions within that. I'm just not totally sure that a 65 games come hell or high water is the solution.
Well, I would... Okay, so a couple of things here. Number one, Joel Embiid has been hurt throughout his entire career.
No right? doubt.
Like,
no doubt.
He missed the first 2 years of his career. His first official year in the NBA, played 31 games. Just for context, guess how many games he played last year when he won the MVP?
Oh, 58.
66. So when we come up with an arbitrary number, I'm wondering if that arbitrary number wasn't based off of something that actually happened.
Yeah.
Where they slid in a number and said, okay, you have to play more than 60. You have to play 65.
Yeah, right? 65 is just like a good round number, though. That's not I guess unreasonable.
Well, 66 would have been really obvious. That would have been like, sure. Is this a Joel Embiid rule?
Yeah.
But so here's the problem. Like, I don't think you should be able to be an MVP if you can't stay healthy long enough to actually impact the bottom line, which is wins and losses.
Mm-hmm.
And a player who, sure, if they win like 80% of the games he plays, they're probably going to make the playoffs either way.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's missing 25 games a year,
sure,
that's just, it's too much. It's too much to be considered one of those guys, because what happens in the other 25 games? And that's part of it. I mean, part of, you know, again, we bring it up with Harrison Barnes. Part of what makes Harrison Barnes valuable as a player, he's at 185 straight games played.
Right.
He shows up every night.
Mm-hmm.
And other guys don't. And there is value to that. And I'm not putting Harrison Barnes in the same category as Joel Embiid. But if I'm looking at...
No, I get what you're saying, though.
Yeah. If I'm looking at two players that may or may not make All-NBA, mm-hmm. and one of them plays 79 games and plays with a broken hand the whole time,
mm-hmm.
and the other one plays like 58 games and doesn't play through injury and misses a bunch of other games, but his stats are better,
mm-hmm.
someone like Anthony Davis, then... Yeah, like, what am I talking
don't
about
pick
here?
A player. Let's make one up. Let's call him Anthony Davis.
Let's just make one up. You know, and we'll, like, you know, seven-footer with the unibrow.
Like I said, I don't hate that premise at all, and in fact, I agree with it. A player who impacts his team for 50 games is just, by definition, not as impactful as a player who did the same thing for his team in 75 games.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, that's basic math. And the NBA had to put a number on it. I understand why, because they couldn't just have teams willy-nilly going, all right, well, let's see. Every back-to-back, anybody over 30 is not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of every road trip, this guy's getting a night off. And, oh, national TV game, it's a back-to-back. Yeah, too bad. Sorry, guys, everybody's going to sit. So I understand it to an extent. But I also, my other question on this is, you know, how much of it is team-driven? How much of it is sports performance, health, science people, I don't know what they're even called, trainers,
yeah.
Trainers, athletic staff, going, yeah, hey, you know what? We've been doing all these measurements and your heart rate and your explosiveness, and you know what? You're taking tonight off.
I get it, Kyle. I don't think there's any true solution before we get to the break. I'll just say, Anthony Davis, 36 games, 40 games, 56 games. Lo and behold, they put a cap on how many games to make an All-NBA team. He's a 46 through like 48. So it actually is impacting whether guys play or not.
No doubt.
Kawhi Leonard, same thing.
Yeah, no doubt. We got plenty to get to. We'll continue this discussion for sure. LeBron got saved by the bell yesterday. We'll play that sound for you. If you haven't heard it, it's pretty funny. And the Kings are in Miami tonight to face the Heat. They were in Miami yesterday, and now they're in Miami again tonight. They will play tonight against the Miami Heat. We will begin previewing that game as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insiders. And this is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. All right, I'm Kyle. That's James. The Sacramento Kings are in Miami tonight to take on the Miami Heat. Tip-off set for 4:30. Sacramento, they're rolling. They are on a four-game heater. They have won the first four games of their seven-game road trip. Meanwhile, the Miami Heat have done the opposite. They have lost seven consecutive games. The Kings trying to make it eight losses in a row for them. And Miami is a weird team for me. Because I count them out every year.
You should never count on Eric Spoelstra.
Right.
Never.
Eric Spoelstra's great. Jimmy Butler could be abysmal in the regular season, and you know that you're getting a top 15 guy in the playoffs every single year. Bam Adebayo is the prototypical new age defensive athletic center. Like, they've got all these pieces, and then they just figure it out, right? On the margins with Tyler Hero, and you lose Gabe Vincent and Max Strus, and you're just filling spots. And even though they've lost seven in a row, even though they may not be in the top six, you know what? The Heat are going to make some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm always intrigued the way that Eric Spoelstra during the playoffs is able to plug and play different players in different times in different positions and have it all work out.
It's insane. He's the best coach in the league.
Yeah, I do believe he is the best coach in the league, and I think he's totally underappreciated. It took a long time for him to find that appreciation because of the Pat Riley situation and the fact that there was always that sort of like, oh, will Pat Riley step in type deal. There was always that early on, and now it's just like, look, appreciate a guy for his craft, for what he does. Mm-hmm. And the way that they assemble this team, this team is really, really intriguing. The fact that they aren't winning right now, it feels a little bit like an aberration, but it doesn't really matter what seed they are.
Yeah.
They go into the playoffs and they beat everybody, and next thing you know, they're deep in the playoffs and they're competing for a championship. And they're one of the most impressive franchises that we've seen. It reminds me a lot of the San Antonio Spurs, where stability within the organization, all of that stuff, it matters.
Mm-hmm.
It fully matters. And this is a team that, you know, they have a home court advantage. It's called the South Beach Flu. And, you know,
boy,
guys,
do they.
Guys like to go to...
I think it's the realest home field advantage in the league, or home court advantage.
Home court. No, I totally think so. Yeah. Like, everyone likes to go to Miami. They don't want to live there. Some guys do, and then that's its own problem.
Sure.
But other guys are like, oh, no, this is great. Two nights in Miami? I'm in.
Yeah. I have a day off in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, the next day, you lose a game on January 31, and you move on to February.
That's right.
Oh, that's my number one concern. We'll talk keys later.
Yeah.
Keys to victory. But that is when you talk, we can sit here and we can talk about Tyler Hero, and we can talk about Bam Adebayo, and we can talk about Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra and Nikola Jovic and Caleb Martin, etc. Jaime Jaquez, of course.
Jaquez, yes.
Of course. Might be the rookie of the year, right? So
maybe not, Kyle.
I don't know. He's a basketball hipster rookie of the year.
Yeah.
So, you can talk about all that, and you can talk about X's and O's and this and that. You know what? If the Kings come out flat tonight, and they just don't have it, if the Kings get one of those like we saw in Houston earlier this year, where they just don't have it. It's uncompetitive. They lose by 25. I will not be on this show tomorrow. I will not be on the Insiders here tomorrow and be like, yeah, they got to compete. Like, you can't go into a game like that. I'm not going to do the doomsday thing.
You're going to give them the
break. They get a pass for me tonight.
They get a pass.
I'd like to see them win. I would like to see them go play well and push Miami to 8 consecutive losses and push their own winning streak to 5. You would love to see that focus and that desire.
Okay.
But also, I'm not going to blame them if it's not there. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of like, if they have video of Malik Monk out like doing salsa dancing, I'm here for it. I am. I get what you're saying, Kyle, but you know, the fact is that the Kings, while they're up and down and they haven't strung together like something that would build confidence in what's happening, they have still won 4 in a row. And Kyle, at this point, they're the hottest team in the Western Conference. They have the longest win streak in the Western Conference, the second longest winning streak in the NBA right now.
Watch out.
And whether it's ugly or it's pretty, this is another game where you've got to go in and see if you can figure out how to compete. And I think that the Kings do have every opportunity. You're talking about a team that in the Heat that are on a slide. They've lost 7 in a row. And you need everybody to show up and put on their brave face and try to go out there and win. I think the Kings and all the time the Miami Heat have been in the league, the Kings won like 5 games here. That's it.
Yeah, it is unbelievable like their inability to win.
Yeah.
Was it De'Aaron Fox's rookie year that he had the putback dunk for the win?
Oh, yeah. Second year?
Might have been his second year.
Yeah, that was impressive. That's one of my favorite moments from him.
Yeah.
You know, the jam tip. He's definitely like he came up big in a huge moment.
Yeah, at that on point, the road so. In Miami. Yeah,
he probably didn't know any better. Like, oh, plus it was probably before he turned 21, and he couldn't go out anyways.
That's a good point.
Everyone else around him is fully sick, and he's like, "Oh no, I got this, guys. I got this."
Hey, here's an interesting thing, and I'm sure this has been discussed. I've just never really put it together. Kevin Love plays for the Heat. FYI,
yeah,
it's a thing that's still happening.
I didn't know he was. Yeah, I mean, I know he's still on the roster, but yes.
I think Domas is just the new version of Kevin Love, like the better version of Kevin Love. He doesn't shoot it as often as Love did, but just rebounds, heck of a passer. And again, Domas is a far better player than Pete Kevin Love was.
Okay, well,
but
I think Pete Kevin Love
style of player to okay. me, I feel like there's a comp there that I've not ever connected.
No, I think he. I would just say that Domas is much more of a strong man and Love is more of a finesse player. I think when it comes to Love, he's one of the great position rebounders that we've seen in the game over the last like 20 years. Like the guys don't come along like him that think the game. Not only is he a great like position rebounder where he knows exactly where the ball is going to come off the rim, but on top of that, he's one of the best outlet passers we've seen.
Unbelievable.
What he can do for an offense is just amazing. I always thought, you know, I don't love Kevin Love as a defender, and, you know, there are plenty of things wrong with Kevin Love as a player.
Sure.
But I also understand how he could have a tremendous amount of value for a team, which is why he's still playing and why the Miami Heat are like, hey, we're still in on Kevin Love, even though he's 35.
His assist numbers aren't as good as I thought they were. In his third year as a pro, he averaged 15.2 boards per game.
Yeah,
and then 13, 3, 14, and then 12.5.
He had a very small window where he was one of the best rebounders. It's almost like Andre Drummond. Like both of them have these windows where they're the best rebounder in the league, and you know sometimes it's not even close, and then they fade really quickly.
Yeah.
So yeah, heck of a player. If he can hit the three ball, he becomes like very, very dangerous. But I just don't think he doesn't play enough. He doesn't have.
No, he's not. Yeah. I don't expect him to have a huge impact tonight.
He's kind of just coasting in.
Here's the take I was trying to get to. I think Domas should shoot more threes, man.
Oh,
that's all.
There it is.
That's all. That's all I'm getting to.
Against the Miami Heat tonight, how many do you want? 5?
No, I don't need that many. I would like 3.5 attempts per game.
Okay.
That's what I would like.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, because they leave him open. There are those opportunities for him. Yeah, I'm with you. Is the Miami Heat legend still on the roster? He's not, right? Udonis Haslem finally called it a...
Yeah, no, he's done.
Finally called it a career. Yeah. You know, last year, Udonis Haslem gave it to the Kings and at home on the... Like, he showed up and scored more points than he had in, like, 7 years.
Yeah, he had a six-year stretch where he played, like, 58 games total.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, that and the points were even less. But against the Kings, I think he put up, like, 12. And the Kings were like, oh, no.
Naturally. All right. How do the Kings avoid losing in Miami tonight? We'll tell you that next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, at the break, we were talking about Darvin Ham and whether his days as the Lakers coach are numbered. I want to get to this LeBron sound.
They were a few weeks ago, but I don't know now. Maybe they are. I don't know.
Right. So that was the weird thing is, I believe it was The Athletic reported, like, oh man, Darvin Ham's days are numbered. Somebody reported it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was Sam Amick went down to LA to explore this and came away with the idea that, no, he's solid. Job's not necessarily in danger.
Sam has really good ties in LA. He always has.
Yeah.
Like, as far as a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a Sacramento guy, but his ties in LA run deep.
Yeah. He's and very so good at his job.
Whatever there is to know in LA, he knows.
Right. And then, so it's, okay, Lakers are, you know, they're up and down, maybe not as good as they'd like to be. But again, last year they were terrible at the trade deadline, made some moves, and they made a run to the conference finals.
Yep.
Here's LeBron's post-game, the end of his post-game locker room availability last night. There's a little bit of the question and then LeBron's answer.
What will your message be to your teammate? What can you do yourself, you know, to get back on the winning side of things?
I don't have any message for my teammates. Just go out and do your job. I mean, I'm not yet. Appreciate it. You had to cut me off because I was bothered.
That's it. That's where the clip ends. I didn't cut that off. That's where that ends.
Mm.
Dude, he was about to go in on, I'm not the coach, it's not my job to give people something. He was going to go in on Darvin Ham, I think. That was my read on it.
Okay, maybe, Kyle. But I'm just going to say, at the beginning of the year, we talked about this. If you put a group of players around LeBron James that are not winners, that have never been winners in their career. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying they're losers. I'm saying that they're not winners. They're not right. Guys who have historically found success in the league. And then you just go out and get all of them and think that that's going to be the way to build a squad around him.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got problems. The way to build a squad around LeBron James is pretty simple. Shooters, more shooters. Once you get as many shooters as you think you need, you go get three more. That's a way to build a team around him. He draws more of a crowd than any player in the NBA, and everyone is open.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't go do that and you assemble a team of misfit toys, guys who have, again, not found success anywhere else, you got to look at it like, hey, whose fault is this? You know, is it LeBron for stepping in and saying, hey, I don't want the Buddy Hield trade. I want the Russell Westbrook trade, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you do? Like, where do we put the blame? Because at a certain point, again, not to be horribly rude to D'Angelo Russell or, you know, Cam Reddish or Rui Hachimura.
Torian Prince.
Christian Wood. These guys, they haven't. Jackson Hayes. That's the team that everyone assembled and was like, oh, this is going to be so good. Like, okay, how about you go get guys who know a role? Mm-hmm. Know how to play to their strengths.
Yeah.
And that's where I think what I mean, like when you talk about guys who don't come from a winning background, a lot of players in the league, like the entire Detroit Pistons team, nobody knows what they're going to be as a player. So they right. all think, even when they get 25, 26 still, that they're going to be the next big thing, that it's only a matter of them getting an opportunity. And so every time they go out there, they try to prove that they're as mm-hmm. opposed to playing good team basketball.
Yeah,
Lakers are littered with those players. And yeah. So LeBron can be mad, but like somebody had a say in who built this roster, and I assume he was in the room for some of it.
At least a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately the thing is you talk about surrounding with shooters. Okay, D'Angelo Russell, 41.7% from three on six attempts a game. That's a good shooter. LeBron's shooting 39.7% this year.
Yeah, he's good, man.
It's wild.
It's crazy what he's doing at 39.
That game the other night, I know I wasn't here, but we didn't have a show. I guess it was Saturday night. That Warriors-Lakers game where LeBron's playing 48 minutes and having 36 and 20 and a bunch of assists. Oh, my God. That is a better stat line than 99.9% of the players in the NBA will ever put up, and he's doing it at 39 years old.
Right now, he's averaging 24.9 points, 7.7 assists, 7.5 rebounds. He's still a genius. He's still
52% from the field.
Yeah, there is no like, oh, he's in the All-Star game because he's LeBron. No, he's in the All-Star game because he's still great.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, he is.
If the Lakers were better, he'd be an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rui Hachimura, 39%, just three attempts a game, though. Torian Prince, 38.5%, five attempts a game. And then Austin Reeves, 34% on 4.6.
Yeah.
His shooting percentages have dipped quite a bit. But there's enough there shooting-wise where you're going, okay, you're okay with this. You like this. But D'Angelo Russell, that's the guy?
Wow.
Like, that's going to be your third best player, ostensibly?
They tried really, really hard to trade him. Yeah. I had that thing, like, hey, this is about to happen. We're coming on the show. I'm like, hey, this is about to happen.
Yeah.
Where D'Angelo Russell with Hood Schifino and a first round pick and a pick swap is being sent to Atlanta for DeJounte Murray. That was like super, super close to happening a couple of weeks ago. And even that trade, Kyle, that's the same thing. Like, it's the same. You're bringing in another guy like that.
Yep.
Another guy who wants to dribble the air out of the ball. Another guy that wants to, like, do a bunch of me stuff. And, yeah, is he good? Sure, he's good. I don't know if he might be better than D'Angelo Russell. He plays better defense. But at the same time, what are you doing? Like, the entire concept of what you're doing is wrong. You're not going out and getting players that have had success, putting them in a better position, and having them succeed for you.
Yeah.
And then you as a whole succeeding. That's not what the Lakers are doing.
It's really funny because we sit here and we talk about Harrison Barnes a lot. Harrison Barnes would be a great fit for the Lakers.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of player they need who's going to say, yeah, I could probably do more, but I can help the team in X, Y, and Z way.
Yep.
And that's what, again, Harrison Barnes, maybe not this year, but the last, you know, 3-4 years, and particularly last year. Like, that's a really valuable player who's not going to be an all-star, and he's not going to put up huge numbers, but, man, he helps your team. And, yeah, the Lakers just don't have that. And I'm sure that's a frustration for LeBron, because I'm sure he talks to these guys when they come in or before they come in, and he goes, hey, here's what we need from you. Here's what I'm thinking for your role. And they're like, yeah, I can't wait. And then they get out there and don't necessarily do the things they need to do to impact winning.
They shook their head and didn't listen. I mean, and that's, again, that's a lot of the players that they brought in. You know, like, I went and did, like, deep background on Christian Wood. Because let's be honest, like, Christian Wood on paper, every year of his career except for this year, would look so perfect next to Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
And everyone that I talked to within, you know, that was in the know in Dallas was like, yeah, I mean, he's not a bad kid. You know, he shows up late here and there. And that's not the problem. The problem is he doesn't make winning plays. And what does that mean? Like, he goes out there and he averages 18 and 10. Like, yeah, but he gives up 22 and 13.
Sure, yeah.
So every time, like, it's like, and the mistakes are so egregious, and the forced plays, and, like, all of these things that he does, they don't make sense and they don't lead to winning. And that's why you have to find, as much as you need talent, you also need to find players that, when you're accumulating talent, that have that idea behind them that I am going to fill in a role as best I can. And whether that's a star role or being a star in my role, whatever it is, I got to do that. And that's where I think the Kings have struck gold with guys like Malik Monk, who had bounced around everywhere. And you put him in the perfect situation for him to succeed, and he found success.
Yeah.
Right? So what Malik Monk is today, that's not what Malik Monk was the first 5 years of his career.
Right.
And, you know, Malik can say, well, I'm going to take my talents and go wherever if that's what happens at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But he should also realize that the reason why he's as good as he is right now and he's up for all that money was because he was put in a perfect situation by a perfect coach at the time for him.
Yeah. And he didn't cry about coming off the bench.
No.
And he just went and accepted a role.
Exactly. And that's what you need to do. You need to find guys that are willing to accept roles, that are willing to play what it is you need them, you know, whatever it is that your team needs. And I think that's kind of the fun thing about watching the Kings mold Keegan Murray. Because they're molding him into the player that they need. And he's sitting there as a sponge and just like, yes, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Like, oh, you need me to be the best on-ball defender, statistically speaking, in the NBA? Okay, in isolation. All of a sudden, that's what he was. Like, the stat came out yesterday. He's holding guys to like 14% or something in isolation situations in 43 attempts this year. Like, what he's doing, it's because they're bought into a system where I don't think they're bought in. Like, you're LeBron James and Anthony Davis and a bunch of randos, and I think everybody feels that, that you're all just pieces that Danny Ainge is going to trade for at some point and give up a better player for. That's all you are.
Well, and that's where last year they made all these moves at the deadline, and they figured it out, and everything was great. But I don't know if that's necessarily there for them this year.
You think that every year, and someone always bails out
that's
the Lakers.
It's a good point. But right now, they're so funny. They haven't had a winning streak longer than three, and they haven't had a losing streak longer than four.
Okay. So, like the Kings.
Yeah,
except for the Kings had the six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go three wins in a row, loss, win, four losses in a row. Win, loss, win, four losses, two wins, two losses, two wins, a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Trade off, win and loss. One, two in a row. Okay, get rolling. Lose two in a row.
Kyle, they're a 500 team.
They're just
No, that's what they are. They're a 500 team.
Yeah. They're a 500 team getting this kind of season from LeBron and getting 46 games of Anthony Davis.
Yeah. And again,
that's
the guy's
super
averaging
promising if you're LA.
AD's at 25 and 12, and he's averaging 2.3 blocks and a steal and 3.7 assists. And he's, you know, like, he's a really, really good player. But the fact that this team very well, is it tomorrow? All-Stars announced tomorrow?
Thursday.
They're likely getting two All-Stars.
Oh, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, we made it.
In my head, it's been Tuesday all day.
No, tomorrow's
your favorite
day of the
week. That's a huge win for me. That's a huge win for me. Hell yeah. Yeah, the Lakers currently the 9 seed, tied with the Jazz and way back at the Pelicans.
Yeah. You're tied with the Jazz.
Oof.
Does that mean Danny Ainge doesn't just give you a team this year? Just wondering. Just asking. He might just
swap that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tough.
Tough look.
Yeah. Although, I look... If anybody is going to media drama their way through this and media drama their way into a more competitive team, it's LeBron.
Of course.
And I kind of respect it. Like, the fact that he still wants to win that badly after all the success he's had in the league, I definitely respect it.
All he does is win. And like, look, you're wasting one of his last few seasons.
Mm. I mean...
We think.
Granted, I thought that 7 years ago, so...
Yeah.
There's that tweet from like 2015 as a Warriors fan being like, LeBron's 30, this stuff won't, it didn't say stuff, but this stuff won't go on for much longer. And now it's 2024 and he's still...
I'll tell you though, what's going to happen is he's going to retire. He's going to retire at like 43 or 44. I don't know, maybe around then. Maybe 42, maybe 41.
Yeah.
Then like...
Is he going to go out like Tom Brady where he just has a great year? I mean, great relative.
Probably.
Has a great year and is like, ah, all right, I'm done now.
Probably. And then what we're going to see, though, Kyle, is he's going to like show up at the ESPYs or something. He's going to have like a cane. He's going to be all gray. He's going to, like, his beard will be white. And you'll be like, what happened? He's like, I left it all out there. Everything I had, I gave to the game. Like,
1,000%.
And you can see him like rehearsing the speech again and again.
Oh,
in
my
the mirror.
God. As he dyes his beard.
Yeah.
Man.
He is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see Draymond letting the gray come into his beard. Like, oh, yeah, now he's wise. Watch out.
You don't let the gray come in. The gray just happens, yeah. Kyle.
I mean, like, you could try and color it out. That's what, dude, that's scary because I don't have any hair on my head. Surprise. So I don't get like the grays coming in there. But dude, up the sideburns and then like there's a spot on my chin that when the hair starts to really grow, it's just white. There's just no color there.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
well,
oh boy.
Kyle, like the one advantage that LeBron has is that, you know, there's like a, he can wash that gray right out of his, you know, beard, right? Because there are like colors that match. When you're when you're a ginger, there ain't no washing.
Yeah, you've like, got nothing, dog.
There's no way to do it. There's
you've
no way.
No chance.
Like no, you just it's turning white. And I just shaved it down, but like when it's long, it's white, and I'm looking more and more like Santa Claus. And there's nothing you can do without it looking.
I kind
like
of want nothing more than for you to let the beard grow in now.
No,
I
don't think I can do it, Kyle. Cause then I like right, you know right. Like people are gonna know how old I am.
That's fine. Well, okay.
I try.
That's
to,
a good point. That's one of your favorite things is making people think that you're 30.
Well, I don't try to make people think. They think what they think. I'm just not telling them how old I am.
Okay. Fair enough. We talked a little bit yesterday with Damian in the handoff about All-Star voting. I still think that De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis are going to get in. It sounds like some skepticism that only one is going to get in, or is that just hey, it's Sacramento, of course only one of them is going to get in, even though both got in last year.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have anything solid yet, but
sure.
You know, there might be some murmurs that one or the other is getting in, and I think one of the problems that you have too is who's going to be the head coach. Right. So That will actually play in, because someone always gets hurt, right? There's always an injury replacement. And De'Aaron Fox last year deserved to be an all-star. He didn't get in.
Right.
And then he got in as an injury replacement, which doesn't feel as good as, like, literally. No. The NBA, what they do, I believe what they do is they send a jersey to you, like, in a really super fancy box that's, like, your all-star. Like, hey, you've made it, right? And you open up, like, this beautiful box, and inside is your jersey.
Okay.
Right? And it might even just be a commemorative jersey that you leave in that box that you aren't supposed to go and, and wear for the game, whatever. And not being able to go through all of that and get all, like, that's part of the experience that Fox didn't get last year. So I would hope that Fox does make it, because, I mean, he's averaging over 27 points a game. He's, you know, he's definitely, like, played his way into this situation.
I agree.
And, you know, you put his stats up against Steph Curry, stats are better. Like, you put his stats up against a lot of guys, and he's better. But what happens at the end, who knows? My problem is that what if it's Minnesota, and what if Karl Anthony Towns or Gobert don't get in, and Sabonis also doesn't get in, but then you need an injury replacement. The head coach for the team that will coach the game usually gets to make the decision on who the replacement is.
Oh, interesting.
I think. I don't think it's Adam Silver. I think it's a coach that gets to make the decision. And so that's going to be a problem. Because, like, I think the path for Sabonis to get in, if he doesn't get in, is more difficult than it is for Fox.
I think if I was, Domas in this situation and I didn't get named to the All-Star team. Now, granted, I know it's in Indiana, and that's where he really came into his own as an NBA player. I get all that. But I also think, for me personally, if I was in that spot, I don't know if I'd want to go. Because, look, you're an injury replacement, so, okay, you don't get everything you just talked about, right? The commemorative jersey.
I mean, you do get that stuff, but you don't get it in the same way. It's not like the big reveal type thing.
Right, it's just like, you get. I'm sure it's like a phone call, or maybe Mike Brown calls him in and goes, hey, you're going to Indiana.
Yeah.
You know, okay, great. But now, you know, if you're an injury replacement, you're going, you've gone from, okay, well, I get the All-Star break off to, okay, now I've got to go to Indiana. I've got to hang out in Indiana for a few days.
Instead of going away to
the
tropics.
Right, to take part in all this stuff. And then you're an injury reserve center in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
You're going to play 4 minutes. And you're just going to sit there. I'd way rather go on vacation to somewhere I would like to go.
I think...
Straw poll. Would you rather go to Hawaii?
Yeah, I would tell you...
For 4 days?
I think
or Indiana?
De'Aaron Fox would rather just sit at home and relax and not be there. Like, honestly. That's kind of been his MO throughout his career. Like... Yeah, I'm going to go. I mean, we saw what happened last
year. Hang out with his family, play video games, and
vibe. Yeah, recover and get ready for the second half of the season. Like, regain your focus, spend quality time with your little guy and quality time with your wife, and just reset. That's what I think. A lot of these guys just take off, man. They leave. Like, if the All-Star game was tomorrow, they're leaving straight from the Bahamas and straight to the Bahamas.
Right, 1,000%.
Oh, yeah.
They're just gone.
Yeah, like, especially with them being in Miami, they'd be like, heck yeah, get me out of here.
Yeah. I'm flying straight out of Miami.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Go to the Keys for a weekend.
Yeah, I don't even know where the Kings, the last game of the...
Indiana?
Is that where they are? Well, if you're in Indiana, then you just stay there.
Is it Indiana?
I don't think you want to just stay in Indiana, especially, I think, with the weather, the way it's going to be. The Kings have... The All-Star break starts on the 4th. No, they're at Denver.
Oh, Denver.
No, but Denver's a good place to be because that's a...
That's a hub.
It is a hub. You can get just about anywhere from Denver. You could be Costa Rica in like 3 hours, maybe four. Yeah.
Yeah. I in fact, honestly, you're in Phoenix on Tuesday. Maybe like, hey, Mike, my knee's a little sore. I'm not playing tomorrow. I'm joking. They're not going to do that.
Boy, isn't that rough? They got a back to back. They go.
Oh, Sunday at OKC. Tuesday at Phoenix, Wednesday at Denver.
It starts a game before that. You're at home against Denver, then OKC, then Phoenix, then Denver again.
Oh.
That's rough.
That's brutal,
man. Yeah, that's a tough one. You play Denver a bunch. Played Denver three times. You got him again coming right out of the break.
Oh my God. And then yeah, you go San Antonio at Clippers, home Heat, at Denver, at Minnesota. Oh.
Ugh.
Gonna learn a lot about the Kings in that stretch.
We always you're gonna learn a lot.
You're gonna learn a lot.
Yeah.
That's my go to. Like a group of tough games.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how this team does in those games.
Yeah.
Because that's how time works. No, I'm with you though, man. Let's say you're right. Let's say De'Aaron's like, man, I'd rather stay home, but I got this. I gotta go. So I'll go. If he gets in, let's do the Kyle Madsen version of this.
Yep.
If I get in the game, I'm going balls to the wall. I am playing my ass off for every second I'm on the court. I'm going to make my mark on that game. If I'm going to have to be out there, if I'm going to have to go through all the rigmarole of being an all-star and then be an afterthought in the game,
yeah.
At least when I'm in the game, I'm going to make sure that people know I'm there. I'm playing defense. I'm getting in jerseys.
You're
I'm breaking
screens.
Guys down off the dribble. I'm throwing down dunks.
Setting big screens.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Hard fouls going to the rim.
You are not getting a layup on me, bro. It's the All-Star game. I got fouls to give. I'd be the worst. They'd never want me back.
Yeah. I get what De'Aaron did last year. He was like, yeah, I don't really want to be here. Like, we're in Utah, right?
Yeah. Ugh.
We're in Utah, right? Ugh. Like, what are we doing here? How did I get stuck here in Utah?
Right, and it's ultimately a popularity contest, and that's why I don't have it in me to get outraged if one of De'Aaron or Domantas Sabonis don't make the All-Star team.
Yeah.
I don't have it. I don't have that in my bones to care that much because it is a popularity contest. Like Steph Curry is going to be an All-Star as long as Steph Curry averages 20.
No, I totally agree.
Like that's what it is. And that's how it's always been. And so, at least in my recollection of the All-Star game, that's how it's always been. And so that's fine. That's what the game is. It's a showcase and the fans watch and it's a silly game and they throw their alley-oops and they shoot a million threes and okay, awesome. But that's why I will accept that for what it is. If Domantas Sabonis or De'Aaron Fox are not All-Stars, I'm not going to be pounding the table saying the NBA is messing up and they don't know what it is. Like, no, man, they'll get their all NBAs, which is what actually matters. And they'll be in the postseason. And that's what I ultimately care about.
Okay. No, I get that. My only thing, especially for Domas, like Fox, we'll see how Fox's career materializes from here on out. Right. Like I think a lot of how Fox's legacy is going to be remembered is by like how they do in the playoffs. Like,
sure.
I think that's how everybody, like in the end, a lot of players are judged.
No, that is how everybody is judged.
Yeah, but I think when it comes to Sabonis, Sabonis's route to like the Hall of Fame is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the flashy. It's not the high scoring guy. It's the guy who brought his hard hat and his lunch pail to work every single day and beat people up and like basically physically willed himself into an All-Star bid. Mm-hmm. I mean, into a Hall of Fame bid.
Sure.
And to miss out on an All-Star game right now and potentially, because that's the way that if you don't get in at one point after you've been in, mm-hmm. a lot of times you don't get another opportunity to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see him get in again and have his fourth All-Star because I think it will matter. I think it's part of his resume to be in the Hall of Fame down the road.
Maybe a little bit, but not if he's stacking up all NBAs in the process.
Maybe.
And if he winds up averaging, you know, over this 10-year stretch, if he's averaging 18, 12, and 9.
Yeah.
And the Kings go to the playoffs every year.
But here would be my argument that, like, there's no guarantee he's an all-NBA player either. Because what if so Embiid might be out. So that would mm-hmm. that could open a door, mm-hmm. right, for Domas. But if Anthony Davis is going to play 80 games, it becomes a popularity contest in some sense. People are like, well, look at how many games AD played. It's like, well, but his team was horrible.
Right.
It's like, it doesn't matter. He's AD and look at what he did. And so I think he would get in over Domas, where last year you looked at him and you're like, hey, AD only played 56 games. I'm not going to mm-hmm. vote for him.
Yeah, I guess.
So that would be my concern.
Yeah. But like you said, it's that the way you erase a lot of that, I guess the way you get into the popularity contest is you go win in the playoffs.
Yeah, you stake your claim in a different way.
That's it. That's how it has to go. All right. Some NBA, not really trade rumors, but a couple of interesting names from The Athletic that you and I have not talked about as potential fits for the Kings.
Okay.
And I want to talk about those next on The Insiders.
All right.
On ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.